This is the Novel Marketing Podcast.
I'm Thomas Humstat Jr.
I'm James L. Rubart.
And this is the show for novelists who hate marketing, but still want to become best-selling authors.
This week, we're going to be talking about trolls, haters, and critics.
Yay!
Thomas is excited. I'm excited. We hope you're
excited. Yeah, I'm so excited.
The hard, cold reality is if you're a writer, you are going to run into people that do not like you. And they're going to not just not like your writing, they're not going to like you. And they're going to not just keep it to themselves, they are going to come after you. The first time this happened to me is I had a blog post go up and I had a Google alert and I just went to see what they were saying and they slammed my book and they admitted, okay? They slammed my book. They admitted in the review, I have not read your book. And that's when I realized there are people that you're going to have to deal with that are just after you for sometimes seemingly no reason at all.
This happened to me and just recently, actually. We were putting together a course on how to crowdfund your book, and we decided we're going to crowdfund this course. And so we posted a link to it on one of the Facebook groups of super backers and other folks who are experts in crowdfunding, and they hated the idea of it. They are like, this information shouldn't be out there, or people should just look it up on blogs and kind of do it the hard way. And they also are attacking me as like, who are you to do this? You know, because they didn't know who I was. They weren't from the author community. And so I did a very foolish thing. And I was like, oh, well, they obviously, it's just because they haven't taken the course. This was just reacting to the title of the course. They hadn't seen it. And so I'm like, I'll send them free copies. So I remember the first guy I sent, it's like, hey, here's a link. And then we're talking like 10 gigabytes worth of stuff because we hadn't cleaned it up yet. And he sends me back this long reaction basically saying, I don't expect this to change my mind. Here's all the reasons why I don't like you and I don't like what you're doing. And so then he posts back 2 minutes later to the group, I checked out the course and it's no good. I was like, like, what are you talking about? This is 8 hours of training. How do you check that out in 2 minutes? And the reality was that oftentimes haters are motivated by jealousy. The reality is that any of the folks in this group could have made this course, but they haven't.
Right, right.
And it takes a lot of time. We spent, you know, weeks and months creating the course, and they were the experts. They could have done it, but they didn't. And a little bit, it was jealous, like, oh, why is this guy doing this thing that I could do? And so they respond out of that. But before we get to the tips, we should probably distinguish between the differences between trolls, haters,
yep,
and critics. So what is the difference, Jim, between a troll, a hater, and a critic?
Well, a critic, for example, a critic is somebody that has an opinion, usually an educated opinion, whether you agree with them or not. A critic is going to tell you, hey, this is what I like, this is what I didn't like, this is why I didn't like the film. For example, I love film, and so I'll go to Rotten Tomatoes. And on Rotten Tomatoes, you have critics that are critiquing the film based on their values, what they like in a film, what they don't like in a film. And oftentimes, critics, if you have a thick enough skin, they can actually point out things that can improve your writing, as opposed to a troll. And Thomas, why don't you jump in and give a definition of a troll?
Yeah, a troll is someone who enjoys arguments and debates. So if you have anything controversial, this is probably going to be somebody on the other side, but it could be somebody on your side too. Pretty much every side of every debate has trolls, and they enjoy the fight for the sake of the fight. So unlike a critic who's trying to elevate quality and trying to help people be more discriminating and avoid bad films or bad books, a troll is really just wanting to get in there and, you know, get into the hustle and the bustle. And the temptation is to debate with the trolls. And this is called feeding the trolls, and you must not do it. That was a mistake that I made. I misjudged. So going back to my story on this Facebook group, I thought these people were critics, and in reality, they were trolls. If they were critics, they would have gone through the course and given feedback on the course itself. But in reality, they were trolls, or maybe haters, which is the third category, which is someone who is against you because of who you are or what you represent. And they're motivated often for internal emotional. Maybe there's some insecurity that you're harping on. Maybe you're writing about something that makes them feel guilty in a certain way, or they're jealous of your success. So I notice the more successful someone is, the more haters and trolls they tend to attract. And I've noticed this with Michael Hyatt. You know, he's a very successful person. And so there's a lot of folks who are kind of shaking their fists at Michael Hyatt and like, why can't I be as successful as him? And they start to nitpick stuff that he's doing. And a lot of that is motivated out of jealousy. They're like,
oh, it's all the time. I, some of you know, I used to be a semi-professional magician, and I still do a little sleight of hand and this kind of thing. And I was part of a magic club when David Blaine came out. So here's this street magician. Nobody knows who he is. He has this special on ABC. It blows up. People love him. And his style of presenting is basically, hey, you want to take a look at a card? All right. You know, it's just this very low key thing. But the way he dresses, his persona, his whole vibe is really cool. And it really, it was powerful because it went against the typical stereotypical cheesy tuxedoed up magician that nobody even wants to see. And so this guy struck a nerve, and in all the magic clubs, they were going, how come he got a special? I can do that trick. That trick he did, everyone knows how to do that trick. Well, the reality was, yeah, all of us magicians knew how he did his tricks. We could do them, but he did it in a way that was different, unique, made him stand out, but he had haters for the very fact that he made it and they didn't.
Yeah, so I remember really struggling because I'm not used to haters. You know, it's always a surprise the first time you have it. And this is one of the things that separates kind of beginning authors from more mature, established authors, is that the first time it just kind of comes out of nowhere. You're not expecting it. Most of the time you're not expecting it. If you write a really provocative book or controversial, you'll know you're going to get the haters. But sometimes it's easier when you know they're on the other side of the fence, whatever that fence is. It's when it's your friends sometimes that it can really hurt. And I remember I asked Gary Johnson about this. He's the founder of Bookstop. He used to be on the board of directors for Whole Foods. And he has this really helpful matrix that I wanted to share. So it's the Gary Johnson's matrix of feedback. And so at the top, I want you to imagine four boxes, kind of a square grid of four boxes, two on top of the others. And on the top, I want you to put geniuses and idiots. And then along the side, I want you to put love and hate. So all feedback can fit into one of those four boxes. So you might have somebody who's an idiot and they hate your book. They're like, oh, that's no big deal. This person doesn't know about the topic, or they don't know about my book. And so you just write them off. Or you may have an idiot who loves your book. You know, someone who's, you know, your mom, hopefully, loves your book, but she may not know a lot about your topic or a lot about fiction. She may not be kind of an established critic or a genius, so to speak. So the best is, of course, geniuses who love your book. You know, someone with really refined taste who really likes your book. But the hardest is when someone that you really respect the opinion of, the genius, hates your book. And so what Gary Johnson recommends is to ask the question, why do I think that they're wrong? And that question really helps you kind of evaluate what to do with that feedback, because it may be that you're book really is flawed. You hire an editor to take a look at your book and they tear it to pieces. Well, they're not tearing it to pieces because that's how they get their kicks. And if it is, you hired the wrong editor. they're tearing it to pieces because they're wanting to make it better. And so generally speaking, most of that feedback is going to be good feedback. And so the right way to respond to that quote unquote critical feedback is to say, you know what, you're right. That character is not fully developed. That his dialogue is stilted, and so like I will incorporate your feedback, or I'll work on ways of making it better. Or say, why do I think that they're wrong? So, you know, your argument is valid, but I disagree with you, and here's why. And you have specific reasons of like, well, the reason that he's doing this is because of this element of the character or what have you. And the better reason that you can have for saying this is why I believe that they're wrong, the better you can feel. And this really helped me responding to the crowdfunding haters. I was like, all right, why do I think that they're wrong? Well, two reasons. One, they don't know the audience we're trying to reach. We're trying to reach people who've never crowdfunded ever before, and they're doing their very first crowdfunding project, and they find crowdfunding very overwhelming. That's not who these gurus are. They've been doing this for years, and they've forgotten what it feels like, the scariness of crowdfunding the first time. And the second reason we think that they're wrong is that they don't know us, and they don't know our track record of producing quality stuff in the past, and so they are reacting wrongly to what they're seeing. And when I realized that I had reasons for why I felt that these quote-unquote geniuses are wrong, it helped me feel a lot better.
Back to the critics thing for a minute. You're going to get these people who are the geniuses who don't like your work. In this day and age, the way the world works, you can interact with those people a lot of the time. And sometimes they will respond to you. Sometimes they will start a relationship with you. And sometimes they end up becoming an advocate for you. I sent my first novel to an author I had gotten to know a little bit and respected. And he wrote back and says, it just doesn't work for me. I don't get it. And I could have just blown him off or said, okay, you're wrong, and this kind of thing. But instead, I engaged, and I got what I thought was really good feedback. Well, my second novel came along, and I said, this guy's now a friend. I'm going to send him my second novel. Loved my second novel and ended up endorsing it. So these people, if you go in with a teachable attitude, and editors will say this again and again and again, boy, there are some authors that are just not teachable. But the ones that are teachable, oh my gosh, we love working with them. So you need to be teachable in those moments where those outside people are, in effect, your editors.
But this only applies to legit critics.
Yes.
If you try with a hater or a troll to do this, they will tear you to pieces and they will never let go. The more you interact with a troll or a hater, the more ammunition you're giving them to use back at you. And this is why this distinction is really helpful, because critics absolutely can be won over. In fact, what makes a good critic is the not having a personal bias. That very thing that I experienced with those trolls is that they had a personal bias against me and against the idea. It caused them to not have good judgment. They weren't looking at it on its merits. They're not going to look at it on its merits, trying to give it more merits. Be like, well, here's more samples, and isn't going to win them over, because for the samples to work, you actually have to, you know, read it or listen to it or what have you.
We want to move on, but real quick, Thomas is so right when he says, and this is where you need to be wise and figure out, are they a troll or not? Because if it's a troll, remember, they love to argue, and they will argue the other side of the argument, even if they don't believe it, just for the sake of the argument. And they're better at it than you. So you're not going to win in that scenario. And haters, again, there's a proverb that says, you know, don't engage, don't argue with a foolish man. And so take that to heart.
So here's how to get rid of trolls. There is a time-proven way of getting rid of trolls. It has worked on the internet since the dawn of the internet. Are y'all ready? This is guaranteed to work. Don't feed the trolls. See, trolls live on attention. If you don't give them attention, they will starve and go somewhere else where someone is giving them attention, because that's what motivates them. And so that's why getting into the debate with the troll is so dangerous, because you're giving them food, and it's kind of like a stray dog or stray cat. If you keep feeding that stray cat, pretty soon you have a new pet, and it will never leave you alone.
And they bring their friends.
Yeah. So, all right. So we've talked kind of objectively, but we haven't had a chance to talk about emotionally how to deal with how painful this is. And I don't want to write this off. And I now appreciate it more. You know, it's kind of easy for me, kind of as this distant, you know, marketing guy, to be like, oh yeah, you know, obviously not everyone's going to like you, love me, hate me, don't ignore me. We keep saying that, but we don't talk about how painful it is to have people legitimately hate you. It's like, wow, I didn't realize that people hated me. This is not so fun. So, Jim, what are some advice that you have for dealing with that emotional pain and just that feeling of insecurity and wanting to quit, and maybe these folks are right and I really have no idea what I'm doing?
First of all, and to Thomas's point, I'm a marketing guy, but I'm also an author, and I've gone through this. Believe me, I have experienced this pain, and it is not fun. So those of you out who are going, you don't know how bad it hurts. I do know how bad it hurts. And so the first thing is, don't get isolated. It's very, very easy to just get right in your cave as soon as that happens and feel like I'm the only one and nobody else hates others as much as they're hating me. Don't get isolated. Talk to your other author friends. Say, has this ever happened to you? And they'll go, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Of course it's happened. The other thing you can do is have fun with it. I was at Thriller Fest in 2010, and they had a contest for the worst review, the most hateful review. And this guy read it out loud, and everyone laughed. And that took away so much of the sting for this guy, to everybody laughing and going, oh my gosh, I can relate. I've had ones like that. That one's funny. The other way to deal with it is, and this is the way I've dealt with it lately. I used to read all my reviews. I don't read my reviews anymore. I don't really even read the great ones, the 5 stars. So I just ignore it. But if somebody writes to me, I will always read that, and I'll always answer that. Because if somebody has taken the time to personally write to me, nine point nine times out of ten, that's a critic. If they don't like it, that's a critic that really cares and wants to talk to me. I'll engage with them. But the other people, Thomas is right. No, sorry, can't feed you. No food for you today.
So one temptation is to develop a tough skin and be like, I don't care what other people think. And this can be helpful emotionally, but it's also a risk. And it's a bit of a trap in the sense that that tough skin can insulate you from community if you kind of allow it to infect your whole life. But it also insulates you from legitimate feedback from the critics. Because, and a good example of this is Scott Adams. He's the creator of the Dilbert comic strip. In the first 2 or 3 years of his comic, it was really struggling. And then he put his email address on his comic. He's the first person to do this. It was like 1994, and it was scottadams@aol.com. I still know the email address. And, you know, it's because that's what everybody has, AOL, back in those days. And he started getting this flood of emails responding to his comics, and a lot of them were negative. Some of them were positive, but they all had a constant theme. And the theme was, we like Dilbert better when he's at work. We don't enjoy the strips with Dilbert at home. And so he took that feedback, retooled Dilbert, made it a workplace commentary, and it became one of the most popular comics of all time, one of the best-selling, one of the most lucrative comics, because he responded to that criticism that he got from his audience. So he couldn't have done that if he had a tough skin and just blew him off. What do these people know? I'm going to keep having Dilbert be a loser at home and having him a loser at work. It's like, no, we just want to see Dilbert at work. So go ahead.
Well, something else you can do to keep a soft heart, and that is so, so important, especially you're an artist. You have to keep that soft heart. Something else to do is go to the Psalms. Go to the Psalms, because here's a guy, David, who wrote the majority of them. Here's a guy that is one of the most iconic figures in the entire Old Testament, and yet he went through... struggles.
You think your life is bad? Yeah. No one is trying to kill you.
Exactly.
Chasing
you. Talk about a guy that had haters and trolls and went through rejections. And sometimes just reading through those is incredibly, I believe, incredibly therapeutic.
So another temptation is to run away or hide behind a pen name. And I really encourage you not to do that. Trolls and haters and critics, all three of those are a symptom of reaching people. If no one's reading your writing, you're not going to have any critics. And if people are reading your writing, not everyone's going to enjoy you. And you have something unique to offer to the world. The world needs to hear from your unique perspective. And running away or hiding is essentially letting the trolls win. And you can't let the trolls win for the good of humanity. Don't let the trolls win. We must conquer the trolls.
I love that. And Thomas has a talk on that. And at some point, maybe we should do a podcast on that, because that's such a powerful idea. It's not necessarily marketing, but it is marketing. And I think it will free people up to do marketing. So I'm gonna interview you on that in an upcoming podcast.
All right. And finally, a couple last tips to encourage you. Take your favorite book. What's your favorite book? To Kill a Mockingbird, Lord of the Rings. Look it up on Amazon and read the 1-star reviews.
Yeah.
And it's like, this person just thinks they're so smart and how they're criticizing Charles Dickens. And they're, you know, and it makes them feel smarter than Charles Dickens. You're like, man, if I can criticize Charles Dickens, I must be. But, you know, the reality is critics often, and trolls and haters, especially the haters, they hate because they can't do. And by criticizing the work of others, they feel like they're a part of that creative community, even though they're not. There are those who build and there are those who tear down. And they feel like, well, I'm working with construction tools, so I must be, it's the same work, but it's not. They're tearing down while others are building. And so just remember that by writing, you are a builder, not a tearer down, unless your writing is attacking other people. And I guess it's a little bit of both. But and then finally, it's okay not to read your reviews.
Right. I
can't tell you how many prominent authors I've worked with at Author Media, and I won't mention their names, but we've worked with a lot of best-selling authors and famous authors, and they don't read the reviews. It's almost more common to find someone who doesn't read the reviews than someone who does, because the pitfall is that the 5-star reviews make you think too highly of yourself, and the 1-star reviews make you think too lowly of yourself, and both ways has you thinking about yourself instead of your readers,
right.
And it can get you off your game.
One more thought before we close, and that is, picture that troll or that hater in your mind, and remember this: people treat you the way they feel about themselves.
Hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
And so keep that in mind. Yeah, that is a really great point. And so there's a saying that Jesus said that I think is really tough to do, but it's really powerful, and it helps you feel better, and that is to love those who hate you and to do good to those who despitefully use you. And so if you can do that, to your haters, it will heap burning coals on their head, which could be an effective marketing strategy.
This edition of the Novel Marketing Podcast has been brought to you by My Book Table. You need to check this out. If you've got a WordPress site, you need to check this out. Very easy to do. It's a plugin. Just go to mybooktable.com and it'll give you all the info on why you need this on your site.
Do you have a question that we could answer in a future episode? We'd love to hear it from you. You can shoot us an email at novelmarketingpodcast@gmail.com or go to novelmarketing.com and click the Ask a Question button. And we'd also love to hear about you, what you think about this. Have you had some really terrible comments in the past, some really bad reviews? Post it in the comments and we will commiserate with you because we know what it feels like.
Indeed. This has been the Novel Marketing Podcast, giving you novel ideas on how to promote yourself and your writing online, offline, and everywhere in between.